We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesdays at 7. We are located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Are your kids ready to chill out this summer? Join us for Operation Arctic Vacation Bible School, June 19th through the 23rd from 6:30 to 9 at Union Temple, where we'll be exploring the coolest book on the planet, the Bible.
In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says in verse 5, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfinished," and that word simply means the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and my mother and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now verse 7 is what I use, and I want to use it this morning. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker or a sharer of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This morning we want to preach on, as you look in verse 7. And I want to talk about here this morning the spirit of the overcomer. Now, I said here the other night that every Christian needs this message. Not just only to become an overcomer, but as I said, because it's a message from the Word of God. And I want you to know that every message that comes from the Word of God is very valuable. It's very profitable. It's very needful. And so what message do you hear from the world today? The message that you hear from the world today, there has been another mass shooting. You hear the message, there has been another bombing in downtown the mall. You hear the airplane goes down, a suspected terrorist attack. You hear another school shooting. And you hear all of these horrible, another terrible outbreak of some deadly disease. And so you hear all of these horrible stories that comes from the world. And when we hear those things, we begin to make resolutions. We know what 9/11 did for this country. And when these terrible things happen, we begin to make these resolutions. I'd better pray more. I'd better get back to the house of God. I better get more faithful in church. I need to humble myself now before tragedy strikes again. I need God's help in my life. And so we make all of those resolutions. And so the spirit that God has given us to possess is not the spirit of fear. And the message that the world gives us is a message that creates fear within us. And God says that I did not give you the spirit of fear. But he said, I give you the spirit of love and of a sound mind and power. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter here through the power of the Holy Spirit to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. Not only was he saved through the preaching of the Apostle Paul, but he was also trained up under the Apostle Paul. And Timothy, no doubt, as he was facing the responsibility of being a pastor over the church, he possessed a spirit of fear, no doubt, about all the responsibility given to him. But Paul is telling him here this morning, as he's telling us, a spirit of fear is not how God wants you to approach this. He says here, but Paul knew as a leader that Timothy would eventually face fear. He knew that he would eventually face opposition. He knew that he would eventually face threats during those days when Christians were persecuted and Christians were put to death for their faith. And all these things, and he knew that they would face this. And these things were possible to be able to create fear within his heart. And for Timothy to ignore a crisis, you can't ignore something as a leader. And he said for him to ignore this crisis would be to forfeit his leadership. And so Paul says here, God hasn't given you that fearful spirit, but God has given you the spirit of power and of fear and love and of a sound mind. Now, Paul challenged Timothy here to have the spirit of an overcomer, not to go into the future with fear. And God don't want us here this morning. When we hear these things, God don't want us to be filled with a spirit of fear. God don't want, because fear paralyzes you. Fear puts you in captivity. Fear robs you of the joy and the peace that God wants you to have. And you can't have what God wants you to have when you're filled with fear. And so we know that all the things that are going on. So he says here, I don't want you to go into the future with fear. But he said, I want you to go into the future with your trust in the things that God has given to you. And not only that, but your abiding trust in God himself. And no, that's how we're to face the future. We're faced the future that I don't have to face anything alone. I'm a Christian. I'm a saved person. And I don't have to face anything. God is going to be there with me no matter what comes my way or what happens. God is there to protect me and to care for me and provide for me. And I don't have to have a spirit of fear. And so I want to challenge you to possess the spirit of an overcomer. Yes, there will be times when unexpected things are going to happen. There are going to be times when tragedies are going to happen in your life. I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that you'll never face tragedies like we talked about this morning. But that's a part of life. And you're going to face tragedies in your life. They're going to come your way as they do so many good people. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. And I'll show you from the Word of God what the spirit of an overcomer. And how that you'll know when you possess the strength and the attributes of an overcomer. The first thing there in verse 7 I want you to see is, he says, I want you to see the spirit of power. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That word power is not the power of humanism. It's not the power, the kind of a power of positive thinking that we hear so much of today. It's not that. And many of the psychologists that tries to write about all this positive thinking and tell you that you can do anything you want to if you just set your mind to it and all these kind of things. And listen, this positive spirit mentality, that is not the power that God is talking about here. The power in verse 7 is speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit. An endued power that comes into your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus, you receive the power. And we can muster up a certain amount of power in our own strength. But this power that I'm talking about this morning is far greater than any power that you could ever work up in your own self. It's a power that every Christian needs. The Holy Spirit resides in the spirit and power and the spirit in the heart of every born-again believer. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you have the Spirit of God living and abiding and indwelling within you. And He is the power. He's the power source. When someone accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he's born again, not of his own power, not by positive thinking, but the Bible says here, not through something that he's worked through a problem, but because he's born again by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit regenerates. God's Spirit renews. God's Spirit sanctifies. Look what Romans 8:8-9 says. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Possessing the Holy Spirit is vitally intertwined with being saved. Let me say this. If you're here this morning and you do not possess the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to God. Now that's not Oscar's theology. That's what the Word of God says. It says if you do not possess the Holy Spirit, then you do not belong to God. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. And so here, as the Bible tells us here in this scripture, God, the Holy Spirit, possessing the Holy Spirit is so very, very important. The question you need to ask yourself is, does the Spirit of God dwell in me? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in me? That's the question that you need to ask yourself. Do I know? Do I have fellowship with Him? Do I commune with Him? Does He lead me and guide me and direct me in the decisions that I make? Do I possess the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God strengthens, provides power. The spiritual power comes from the Spirit of God. So the power is made available when we get saved, but that power is made more powerful when a person who is saved and possesses the Holy Spirit, when that person is yielded to the Lord and is seeking to be filled by the Spirit of God, and to be filled by the Spirit of God is just simply being led of the Spirit of God. Allow the Spirit of God to direct your path. Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." Lord was saying that He was about to depart and go back to heaven. But He said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless." But He said, "I want to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." And He wanted His disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. That endowment of power came on the day of Pentecost. And when the Spirit of God empowered them, they became a great witnessing church that turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians today, as I said the other night, are powerless. There's probably some Christians that are sitting right here under the sound of my voice, and I'm not trying to be mean to you, and I'm trying to be critical to you. I'm not trying to judge you, but I'm just trying to point something out to you. There's no doubt that there's Christians sitting here under the sound of my voice this morning that are powerless, that don't have no power. And you say, "Because why, preacher?" Main reason that a Christian don't have power is that they're quenching the Spirit of God. And so it comes in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Quench not the Spirit." The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. And that is why that it's easily quenched. You can quench a person just like you can quench your wife's love whenever you say something critical, or you can quench the love of a friend when you say something to them of a bitter spirit or something. So when the Holy Spirit is quenched, we cannot have power because we have quenched the power giver. Quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Put a damper on the Spirit, it says. How do you do that? Many Christians are living without special endowment of power. If there's sin in your life, if you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you have sin in your life, then you quench the Spirit. Any time that you allow sin to remain in your life, it quenches the Spirit of God. If there's hatred in your heart towards someone, it quenches the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God cannot work in your life like He wants to with hatred in your heart. You need to confess that today. You need to turn from that way. You don't need to go another day without the power of the Holy Spirit. As I said the other day, so many churches are looking for all kinds of organizations and all kinds of fundraisers and all kinds of promotions, all kinds of things like that to build the church. But that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for better men. And when I say men, I'm talking about men and women and boys and girls. Because the Holy Spirit does not work through methods or means or organization or plans, all these kind of things. But the Holy Spirit works through men. Men, women, boys, and girls. So that's what we need. We need more men that are following the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God. And then we can have better churches. Listen to what this preacher is saying this morning. So God gives us power to witness. Share your faith with somebody else. And then I want to show you here the Spirit, not only of power, but the Spirit of love. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. This love for God. Listen to what If you fall in love with God like you should, then many the other problems that you think you have, they'll disappear because God is so much bigger than all your other problems. Is that not right? Is not God bigger than any problem that you are facing right now in life or you ever will face? He's bigger. And when you fall in love with Him and you got your mind on Him, then all these other things that are bothering you, that are causing, creating fear in your life, will suddenly disappear. So that's what Paul is saying. When you love the Lord right, when you have the kind of love for God like you should have, then the fear will disappear. We must respond to that fear. We love Him because He first loved us. Love for God is what we need. But we must respond to His love. How can we be in love with God like that? We have to fall in love with God all over again. You know what you got to do? You must first stop and meditate. Begin to think about the cross. Begin to think about what Jesus done for you there on the cross of Calvary. How much that He suffered and the pain that He suffered and the torment and the ridicule and the mockery and the shame and everything that He endured there on the cross. Think about that and think He's doing that for me. He was doing it for you. And boy, if you'll do that, then He'll create a love in your heart for Him. And I said here the other night, and I said so many times from this pulpit, we've heard so much about Jesus dying for us on the cross of Calvary and how much that He loves us that we have got gospel heart. It don't affect us anymore. This preacher can stand up here for an hour and preach on the cross and preach on how much Jesus loves you and how He suffered for you, and you sit there without any kind of emotion whatsoever about you. What's wrong? I don't believe you love the Lord like you ought to. I don't believe you appreciate what He's done for you like you ought to. When you can sit there and not even nothing moves you. Nothing stirs you. They say we live in the gospel, in the Bible belt here in the area in which that we live. But I think what is happening is every time you turn a radio on, turn a TV on or whatever, we hear the preaching of the gospel and we become gospel hardened to it. And we need to have that love for God rekindled in our hearts. We need to sit down and think about it. So you listen what I'm saying. Oh, that we would recognize that perfect love casts out fear. When somebody tells me they're afraid, then that tells me they're not loving the Lord like they should. And so a love, not only will it cast out fear, but the love of God will cause you to love others. Listen, if there's someone whom you can't love. They may be sitting here this morning, somebody has hurt you so bad you say, I just can never love that person again. I'll never trust that person again. I'll never have anything else to do with that person. I hate them. Boy, I'll say something. I don't mean it literally, but sometimes I'll say something like, I hate that. And I say, boy, that's a powerful word. That is a powerful word, isn't it? So listen, someone who may be that you can't think you can love. But when you fall in love with God and you're filled with His Spirit, you can love even that one. God can help you to love that one. Somebody is probably sitting here this morning and say, I don't want to love that person. After what they've done for me, I don't want to love them. When we're in love with God, we'll be able to love other people. Even the ones who maybe that we don't want to love. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Spirit that came into your life when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That Spirit that we don't want to quench. That Spirit that we want to listen to and that we want to follow. That Spirit that will empower you not only to witness, but will empower you to be able to overcome all your difficulties, all your problems that you face. Listen, we want to say here, God is love. And we're filled with the Spirit, we'll have a loving spirit. And then the one that I didn't get to last week, and I thought was so important. I thought it was just as important as power and of love and of a sound mind. Look in verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's power, yes, we want God's power. God's love, yes, we want God's love. A sound mind, we want it. But listen what it says. Let's look at the definition of a sound mind. What does that mean? We are very, most of the time as husband, we're very convinced sometimes that our wife and children don't have a sound mind. I thought some of you men would give me an amen on that. Thank you, Rob. And maybe the wives think the same way with us. So I give you a chance to say amen too. Man, that's the most amens I've gotten in this church in a long time. But what I'm saying is, what is the definition of a sound mind? God said He wants you to have a sound mind. He don't want you to be filled with fear. He wants you to have a sound mind. A sound mind is a well-balanced mind. A mind that is under sound influence. Listen, you cannot fill your mind with all of this world's music. You can't fill your mind with all of this trash that comes out of Hollywood. You can't fill your mind with all of the trash that's on the internet and on Facebook and all this kind of stuff. And have a sound mind. It very simply is this right here. Garbage in, garbage out. Is that not right? You take it in, that's what's going to come out. And you can't fill your mind. You can't be under the influence of this stuff. And so a sound mind is a one that every Christian is challenged to cultivate. Having the kind of right-thinking mind doesn't happen by osmosis. But it is not something that just happens. But in order to have a sound mind, it must be cultivated. So if you're under the influence of ungodly friends, if you're under the influence of the media, if you're under the influence of what you read, either on the internet or through books or through anything else, listen, in your minds of your children are going to be filled with subtle thoughts. And so you need to be careful of what you allow to come into your mind. One of the reasons that maybe somebody's sitting here this morning, maybe the reason you're uncomfortable by what I'm saying. And you're saying, I wish he would go on and say something else. I'm not comfortable with what he's saying. And maybe the reason that might be is maybe your mind is filthy this morning. I'm not talking about in a way, but just you don't have the right kind of thoughts in your mind. You don't have the kind of thinking. You don't have the kind of thoughts that you should have because you've allowed the wrong thing to be taken in to your mind. So, listen, God doesn't want your mind to be filled with garbage. God never intended for your mind to be filled. He wants to eradicate that from your mind. When the Word of God comes in, you listen to me. It will cleanse your mind. Nothing will cleanse your mind like the Word of God. If you don't want this kind of garbage and stuff in your minds, then listen carefully to these next thoughts I want to give you about a sound mind. A sound mind comes through salvation. 2 Timothy 1:8-9, be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions and of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own power and His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This will be a review maybe for some of you, but I don't want anybody to go out of here without knowing this fact. This is the fact that I want everybody that's sitting here this morning under the sound of my voice, I want you to know, is that salvation is available through Jesus Christ. And that's the first step to a sound mind. The first step to a sound mind is receiving salvation, being saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
what he done on the cross for you. That's the first step. It's salvation. Now you listen. Only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can redeem us. Only Jesus can save us from our sins. Not a church or not anybody else, not a preacher, not anything can save us. Only Jesus Christ. So we're saved by the Spirit of God, renewing us from the inside out. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about a sound mind. You've got to be saved in order that the Holy Spirit will come into you and He begins to renew you from the inside out, working on your mind, giving you that sound mind. So, it's not according to our works, but according to His mercy. Let me ask you a question. Has there been a time when you have truly know without a shadow of a doubt that you've truly been born again? Do you know that? Do you know that that happened in your life? I don't mean that you think you were born again. I don't mean that maybe your parents said, oh yes, I remember one time when you were just small, you went up to the Bible school and you knelt down. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when you got scared and you said, Lord, if you'll deliver me from this and I'll trust you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you know for sure the time when you knelt down and asked the Lord Jesus to save you? Do you know? I'm talking about having a Christian birthday. You may not have understood it all back then. I don't understand it all yet. But you didn't understand it all. But you do know, and you can take me to the place and tell me that right there is where I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. Listen, many think they're saved, but there never was a time when they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen, when I see what goes on in church, when I see what's happening, I see how people act, I see how people treat one another, I see how people don't love one another that profess to be Christians. And I go back to what I say so many times. I've heard so many preachers that studies the surveys and reads the surveys and all these kind of things. And they say 75% of people that belong to churches are not saved. That's probably low. The devil can give you all kinds of substitute, make you think you're saved. As I heard Brother Johnny say the other night in his message about the wheat and the tares. Yes, we got some wheat here. But there's no doubt in my mind that the devil hasn't sowed some tares in among us. What is a tare? It's something that looks just like the wheat. You can't tell it different. You can't tell the difference between them. There's people that they look like Christian, they act like Christian, they talk like Christian. You can't tell the difference, but they're not saved. Listen to what I'm saying. It's a serious thing to know that you're saved. It's so important that you know that you've been born again. Don't let the devil give you a counterfeit. Everything that God has, the devil tries to counterfeit. Don't be deceived.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McAmis. For more information about our church, our upcoming Bible school, Operation Arctic, or future events, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.